We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century. It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building. That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church. There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Greater Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of John DeCamp. And I've wanted to have John DeCamp on for many years, and we finally were able to get him to be with us. John, of course, had been an elected official in Sydney and one of the states for many years, and was very, very successful until he wrote a book. It was called The Franklin Cover-Up. It was the story of a pedophile network that began in Boys Town and went right into the White House and involved some of the most powerful and wealthiest people in America. And, of course, precipitated all sorts of terrible reprisals for daring to tell the truth. And this was a pedophile network that began in Boys Town and went right into the White House itself. Well, that was a long time ago, but a lot of things have happened since then. But recently, there's been some skullduggery in Colorado. And, of course, one of the young men, as I remember now, was who was badly injured during the Columbine shooting, had brought a lawsuit against a major company that produced a drug that one of the shooters was on. I think it was a Prozac. And, of course, because he brought that lawsuit, why? Well, I'm going to let John DeCamp tell you this story. He knows it better than I have. He's looked into this. And you'll say, this couldn't happen in America. Well, if you read the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, you'll believe that couldn't happen in America, but it did. And the same thing is happening. And John's always been willing to take on an unpopular issue to bring out the truth. John, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Yes. Oh, wait, you forgot something.
What's that?
I say you forgot something.
Well, you go right ahead.
Well, remember, I was in a silly war over in a place called Vietnam and got decorated at the White House by the president and named as one of the 8 most outstanding veterans of the Vietnam War. Oh, wait, we lost the war, didn't we? Anyway, life goes on.
Well, I want you to tell this story, of what has happened, and suddenly Don DeCamp has had his life threatened many times. I'm not talking about imaginary things. He lives in a very, very small community because they threaten him and his family for daring to do the right thing right here in America.
Well, as my book points out very clearly, in this Franklin deal, I think I identified either 13 or 17 people that ended up dead as a result of it, directly. And so it wasn't a penny anti-venture. It was something pretty serious.
And didn't it involve some of the biggest names in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, it did. In fact, what is it, the Washington Times or something, had a big front page story based on some of the stuff that I had written about and documented. And it caught on across the country, but they got hammered pretty heavily by the White House and some others back then. For daring to say such things.
Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with John DeCamp, but here's a very courageous gentleman, and we'll be talking now about Colify.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris John DeCamp, Sydney, has been a consultant for the families who were involved of the children who were shot at Columbine. And you've never heard the story of Columbine. What happened was, of course, that there were a great deal of depositions.
It was the biggest school shooting in the history of the United States.
Right, and because John has got all sorts of records and depositions, those records have been sealed. They don't want the American people to know the truth, and everything has been
done. Sometimes protects itself, and in that case, what I wrote then, and I say it again now, those two boys, Harris and Klebold, whether anybody wants to admit it or not, had been put on these antidepressant drugs, and they were taking them 2 and 3 times the quantity that they should have been, and they learned how to take themselves higher than a kite, and then quit them for a day and 2, and then come down and then manipulate them using 2 and 3 times the dose, and the doctors who were prescribing them for them. This was back in the early days of some of the big heavy-duty antidepressants. I think it was Luvox they were on.
Okay.
And anyway, that's coming out slowly and surely, and as I say, their families are back here today, several of them. I don't know, I can't remember just how many kids were killed there, but there were like 14 or so killed or more than that. Most ever killed in a school shooting, in fact, a couple times as many as any other school shooting ever, and gobs of them wounded. And
well, now, John, did the doctors know that they were abusing the drugs?
I don't know about that.
Well, what about, Sidney, the fact
I think they had to know, but I don't think... This was before, believe it or not, before they had all these warnings on drugs like they do now, and you have to warn people and tell them what they can do and so on and so forth.
Well, why did they seal the records? I mean, Sidney, why isn't the public entitled to know that if you take these drugs irresponsibly, they'll give you homicide and suicide tendencies?
When I had taken the depositions of the parents of the killer, kids that did the killing, Harris and Klebold, some of this information started coming out because I also got records from Harris and Klebold's family and hidden records and so on and so forth. And I was shocked and stunned and rocked and horrified when suddenly the judge ordered all those records in the case sealed for 7 years or something like that. And then here about 4 years ago, he ordered them sealed for another 20 years. So they still have 16 more years to run before supposedly anybody can see them.
But, John, is that to protect the drug companies? What is this all about?
I contend and believe as sincerely as I believe anything that is the primary reason.
But now, of course, one of the big problems is what happened to Donna Taylor's son. And you want to get into the background, because Donna Taylor's son was seriously shot. And
Donna Taylor is back here again today.
Right.
He's going to be here for 3 days. I don't know if you knew this. No. And her son is in an institution. And
but why is
they keep him drugged now, just totally drugged. And I think it's horrible beyond horrible. The kid is bright, capable, and talented. And they've got him in an institution. And they keep him doped up with, well, anyway,
John, it's my understanding that the reason that this whole thing has come about is because the drug companies are very powerful, that the family brought suit against the drug companies.
Yep.
And they said if you bring suit against the drug companies, they will come after you. And, of course, how were they able then to get him taken away from his mother, declared mentally unstable, and put into a mental institution when this is a normal, healthy kid?
Yes. And I departed the case when she had been convinced to get another lawyer to assist. And that lawyer, remarkably enough, believe it or not, had been a representative and lawyer for the drug company. Duh.
Well, I mean, somebody then talked Donna into getting another lawyer. What happened then?
I dropped out of the case, said I was done, and let them take it from there, and she's discovered now, I don't know how many years it's been, but 8 or 10 or 11 years later here, she's discovered and wants me to come back and take the case, and I just am getting old enough that I've got to worry more about just getting through life.
All right, fine. Well, basically, of course, it sounds like there's a conflict of interest. The lawyer, former lawyer for this drug company, whoever produces the blue box, actually...
Well, see, I wanted to sue the drug company.
Right, of course.
And I think I named them, and then, well, anyway.
Well, what did you tell us? You wanted to sue the drug companies. Did they ever bring a lawsuit?
After I left the case?
Right.
The drug companies did settle with some kids, but it was all kept very hush-hush.
Right.
Anyway.
But what about Donna Taylor didn't want to sue, and they kept the case going, and then they came after her son and put him in a mental institution, so he couldn't sue. Is that basically what happened?
Well, I think that's pretty close to description, and you'd have to talk to Donna some more on that. As I say, she is back here right now in Nebraska and going to be in my office again all day tomorrow along with these other folk, and they're reading documents, and I think they're going to learn a tremendous amount over the next 2 or 3 days.
Well, what you're saying is that they actually sent people to your office in Nebraska from Colorado.
They sent three state patrolmen or whatever they were, and they went through all the records, or let's just say they thought they had gone through all the records.
Well, basically then...
trying to seize certain things from the case and seal them up. And as they say, then here 4 or 5 or 7 years ago or whatever it was, they sealed them again for another 20 years.
In other words, basically they do not want the public to know how dangerous these drugs are.
I think that's true. You see, if and when this all starts coming out, as I wrote in my book, it will rock and shock the world and sober things up. It was after, it wasn't even after this case that they started having to put warnings on the antidepressant type drugs, you know, the prescription ones. And, of course, that's mandatory now, as you know. And,
but basically,
really
these drugs will cause people to get homicidal and suicidal ideas. Is that correct?
That's pretty much it.
And because these people, young boys, created these terrible, terrible crimes in Sydney, and then they ended up shooting themselves. And because the drug companies, Sydney, by settling some of the claims, accepted liability. But of course, for whatever reason, Donna Taylor and her son, Sydney did not settle with them. And so they came after the boy. And they had him arrested and seized and put into a mental institution. How could they do that? I mean,
I was no longer involved in the case when that happened.
Right.
I had left because of this lawyer and so on and so forth coming in from the drug. But anyway,
Does Donna realize she was set up that they brought in this other lawyer, probably a real lawyer.
You'll have to talk to Donna. I'd rather have her say what she believes.
All right.
So you hear it from her own mouth, her words. Anyway, so that was part of the story there, and as I say, of course, it's probably not as well-remembered in California. That's where you are, isn't it?
Right, in California.
It's not as well-remembered there as it is up in the Midwest and eastern part of the United States. But historically, as you know, it was the biggest school shooting killing in the history of the United States. I guess you'd probably say in the history of the world. It was at a school right there in Denver, Colorado, called Columbine.
Right. And I always knew that there was something they were covering up. I knew the records were sealed, but nobody would ever tell us why. And the media, the media would never tell us.
They got sealed in the case that I did and the depositions that I took and the tapes that I was introducing into the court in the record called the basement tapes, where the kids had tapes they had taken of themselves. They had taken these tapes and recited all these things and a lot of things more, and rocked and shocked the world. Someday they will, when these all come out.
Well, that thought, we'll be back in just a moment.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Through his research as a veterinarian, Dr. Joel Wallach discovered that most health problems afflicting livestock can be prevented and even reversed. Many of these same health challenges also occur in humans. These too can be prevented and reversed. Doc's original formula, called the pig arthritis formula, alleviated all arthritis symptoms in animals. The same basic formula has been developed for humans, called the pig pack, which includes plant-derived minerals, a multiple vitamin complex, glucogel, and EFAs. Add to that Longevity's OsteoFX Plus, a proprietary blend of liquid calcium, magnesium, and glucosamine. Now you have the Pig Pack Plus to make up the 90 essential nutrients Dr. Wallach has identified as necessary for sustained good health and longevity.
For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan and John DeCamp was saying there's so much more to the Columbine story that people will never know. And basically, one of the boys had been caught ahead of time and had been involved with a stealing. So one of the police officers who investigated this had been used that as leverage to get this one of the two boys, either Harris or Klebold, to actually engage in illicit sexual activity with him, and that had to be covered up. This was all came out the depositions, those that had been sealed. And basically I asked John, but why, John, why did everybody, within the judicial system and the legal system and the police force cover this whole thing up? And they're still covering it up. And, of course, John's reply was that the system covers for the system that he was talking about when he was in Vietnam, when John DeCamp was in Vietnam. He worked for a man named Colby. William Colby was the head of the CIA operation in Vietnam. He came back to be head of the CIA operation in America. I personally believe that William Colby was murdered because he was going to bring out some of the total corruption and depravity at the highest levels of government. And many people who studied the strange death of William Colby and the supposed fact that he went for a canoe trip in the middle of a storm, all by himself.
Now, you had to know Colby.
What?
Colby, as I say, he became my best friend. He used to come back to Nebraska all the time. After he became the head of the CIA and after he was released by Mr. It was Kissinger, yes. In fact, I sat down with Kissinger and Colby together one day, and that's another story. But anyway, and we had lunch together, and Kissinger was the one that fired him under Nixon. You know what I mean? He was head of the CIA,
right.
And Kissinger fired him. He was getting too close to some things. But anyway, he died, as you may recall, like you said. He had to understand the guy. He was the most careful, meticulous son of a gun there ever was. He made sure that everything was meticulously, perfectly done, whether just little dinky things, like making sure the glasses were in the right place on the table, and I don't know what all. But anyway, and supposedly then, suddenly, he leaves his lunch, his dinner on the table, goes out about 5 or 6 o'clock, gets in a boat on the, Chesapeake Bay, I think it was, falls out supposedly and drowns, and then isn't found for 8 days. And it just is totally, unconditionally unbelievable. If you knew the guy and knew what he was working on at the time, and he was the one that was instructed me to write the book, because he knew he was involved in also investigation. He was hired as a private investigator. I got the Senate to hire him as a private investigator on the Franklin case that I wrote the book about, and Franklin cover-up called Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska and around the nation, linking up to very prominent people all around. Colby was explaining to me, for my own protection, because
because my family had been threatened and so many people had been killed in the case. He said, for your own protection, John, you should read the book Billy Budd and then tell your story. Tell your story. Write a book. Tell the whole thing. Whether one person in the whole world ever believes it or not, the safest thing you can do is say, write it and put it in print and get it out so that there's no benefit in killing you or your family. It'll only help validate it because people will say, hey, look, here, he got killed. Well, sure enough, I wrote the book then, and I can still remember one time, and that's why I moved to this little dinky town now. Moved here about, quite a few years ago, 15 or 20, because one day some kids, boys, young huskies come in while my oldest daughter, she was about 10 or 11 at the time, and they take her dog from her and kill it, beat it, stomp it.
Hold on a thought, hold on a thought.
Huh?
Do you believe that you've seen the handwriting?
Hold on a thought for a minute.
More regulation, more taxation, and more Big Brother to come? All these things mean less of what we cherish, including liberty and freedom. Maybe you're looking to discover a place to relocate. After seriously considering several other countries, we've fallen in love with Chile. Don't get me wrong, it's not Shangri-La and it isn't a utopian society. Anywhere you go, there are trade-offs. Moving out of your own country and relocating thousands of miles away isn't for everyone. But if it seems interesting to you, call Jeanette at 413-835-7961. It's the United States phone number, but it rings in Chile. 413-835-7961 or go to the website at southernchileproperties.com. That's southernchileproperties.com. Do you have a chronic disease that has devastated your life? If you do, you should contact the Envita Clinics. Their therapies can reduce the devastating side effects of chronic fatigue, heart disease, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, and other persistent illnesses. Their experienced team is committed to setting a new standard in patient care. They're dedicated to bringing you the best of what's available in cutting-edge medical science. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Or better yet, investigate their website at Invita.com. That's Envita.com. Or 866-830-4576. Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John was just saying that he had his daughter, and these thugs came up, and they killed her dog in front of her. And what
dog
did they
didn't ran over it with the car then.
Right.
And then they said, now, you tell your dad this can happen to one of you kids if he doesn't back off. And they made her say it to them about 10 times so she'd memorize it and know it. So she did. I wasn't home at the time. And it was quite a shocker. And well, years later, to be honest with you, that I remembered and read this book, Billy Budd. Well, I read it only after I was watching television one night and they had the movie about it. And you may remember, I don't know if you've heard of the book Billy Budd, it was a 100-year-old book or something. And it was about, anyway, Colby explained to me, he said, go read Billy Budd if you want to understand what's happening. If you want to understand what happened. And so I finally remembered what he had told me. And before he drowned, you know, mysteriously when he went out, which he never would have done in 100 years, and climb in a canoe and go out in the middle of the lake as it's getting dark, and he just wasn't that kind of person. He was so careful and meticulous. But anyway, and then supposedly drown in his boat or fall out of his boat. No. Anyway, but he had told me, if you want to understand this Franklin case you're on, and that he helped me investigate and was hired by the Senate then here in Nebraska to come and investigate, and it went all the way up to Washington and other places. Anyway, he said, read Billy Budd. And so I finally read the book then, and the story of Billy Budd is this sailor that was on one of the ships in the British Navy or something back whenever, 100 years ago or 150 years ago or something like that. And he became aware of things, and so they had to, officers had to shut him up because he knew too much. And so they made sure he got blamed for some problems and took the fall, and the system, the officers protected themselves. And that's what Colby was trying to explain to me, and said, that's more dangerous than criminals even, because the system so frequently will go to any length to protect itself. And that's what I see occurring in Columbine over and over. And what is this story of this Franklin case, you know, the judges and some others protecting each other and other very prominent officials. I got sued for the book in 3 different states by the police chief who got fired because of the book. Long, long time police chief of Omaha. He sued me. I won that case. I got sued again in another state. What was it? North Carolina was one of them. Colorado, was that another one? Anyway, 3 different states. Oh, Nevada. Nevada, yeah, that was the last one. That was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And that was a difficult one, and I won it, and I can still remember the judges giving his opinion after the police chief had sued me there, the police chief, because he got fired a couple times after he lost his job in Nebraska, and the head of the Omaha police force, and he got sued and fired after the book came out, and he sued there in Ogden, Utah. Boy, I can still finally remember Ogden, Utah, which is Mormon Central, you know, where the Mormon college is and everything, and he was an instructor there then. And so he sued me there in his own state, in his own town, where he was a very prominent teacher then by then. Professor, can you still hear me?
I certainly can.
And
when the judge finally gave the decision, he says, "Will, I know Mr. Wadman, Chief Wadman, and he says, I admire him. I think he's a wonderful man." And then the next guy thought, oh boy, I'm going to get massacred now. Because it was in Ogden, Utah, Mormon Central, or Mormon colleges, the Mormon temple and the headquarters of the Mormons. And then the judge's next sentence in the opinion was, "But I have no choice but to rule in favor of the senator from Nebraska. He's proved his case, and I don't have a choice. As a judge, I have a duty, an obligation to rule, and I have to rule in his favor." And so every one of those three cases in three different states where they sued me for my book, different officials and others, because I blew it out straight in the book, hard and firm and cold. Oh, and the book is now on Amazon.com. You know, the people buy it there, I guess.
In fact, we would love to. Can we actually get the book from you to sell wholesale?
Pardon?
Can we get copies of the book from you to sell wholesale? How would we get copies wholesale?
I used to have tens of thousands. We had sold about 300,000 myself.
Right.
When I just printed it, I never paid one penny advertising, promoting it.
I know.
Not one penny ever. And it sold hundreds of thousands of copies, and I don't know how many copies have been sold now on Amazon since they took it over a couple of years ago. And they just send me a check every couple months. And
well, are they the ones who are actually publishing it now, or what?
Yeah. Well, they print it. And,
oh, they do print it then.
But if they do everything.
All right.
I quit printing. I was printing it and doing it all myself. I mean, in my office, I had couple people work at it full time, and
right.
We got the books. But I didn't spend one penny though ever advertising it ever.
Well, I think it's been a very, very important book, and I said
you've read it, haven't you? Or have
no, I haven't been able to get a copy of it, but
oh.
We will.
Amazon.com.
I will call
them
tomorrow.
The Franklin cover up.
Right, the Franklin cover up.
And it's kind of funny because then two other books have been written, which basically. One of them is dedicated to me and just verifies it. That was done by a reporter from the New York Times years later.
Well, we carry the book, The Franklin Scandal, which, of course,
yeah,
is also
that was the one done right. By the New York Times guy.
Right.
And basically, he dedicated it to me, if you read it. You got it?
Yes, I do have it. I've read that
one. You ought to get a copy of mine because he dedicated it and basically just verified one thing after another
right.
I had said.
Right.
He came and lived here in Nebraska from New York for a while. Well, booked about a year while he followed up on stuff. And it was funny when he first came here because he thought I was going to. I think he came here to prove my book was full of shit because it had become such a bestseller. And he did the exact opposite. When he came to me, he said, "Can I ask you some information?" I said, "Well, you can ask me anything you want. I'll try to answer, but I'll do even better than that. I'll just open my files on the case. Everything I've got, tens of thousands of pages, you can read them yourself. You can use my office. You can live in my office, in fact." And I let him do that. I think he was stunned, shocked, and rocked. But he wrote the book and published it. Called The Franklin Scandal. But my book was called The Franklin Cover-Up, and then he just renamed his book and called it The Franklin Scandal, and basically all it did was prove mine. So anyway, it's been interesting. Life goes on.
Well, I think it's vitally important that people understand they kill people. They have no question they kill Colby, but they kill people on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
And the system covers up for it.
Very often the system does. Unfortunately, the system protects itself.
And, of course, Donna Taylor's son is in a mental institution being heavily drugged, and that is the punishment for daring to sue one of the major drug companies.
Yep.
At least that is the inference I get from talking to Donna Taylor.
Well, yeah, and I was the one that sued him.
Right. What
but
happened?
Anyway,
well, what actually happened when you did sue the drug company?
Another lawyer came in.
Oh, I see. Okay. Then
Donna brought him in. I think she regrets it now. I don't know.
I'm sure she does.
I'll talk to her tomorrow about it. She's back here in Nebraska.
Right.
I'm going to talk to her. But anyway, and I checked him out thoroughly and found out that, because I had that information that they sealed it after I left the case, because I just withdrew. I decided I didn't want to stay with it. These things were done, and Donna had brought in this guy, and so on and so forth. So I left the case, and the rest is history. Now,
and you know, I saw the same thing happen with Waco. How the government, the CIA, put their own people in to represent the people from Waco, and the people actually were there to make sure that the legal cases didn't get any place. And I've seen this pattern over and over and over again, when judges have been brought in, supposedly they would represent the people, and they're there ready to sabotage the cases. This is how the system works. Not only that, but I find this is very frequently true with key people. They usually have somebody planted in their office to neutralize them. You try to reach them, and you can't reach them. And you can never reach them. They're never available. And they are there specifically to undermine. This happened to our good friend Constance Cumby. It turned out that her secretary of many years was certainly not supporting her, doing everything she could to undermine her. And I've seen this similar things done. These are such experts on neutralizing effectiveness, which is one reason we keep losing in this battle for the survival of America.
Well, once upon a time, if you had told me what I'm telling you today about how the system protects itself, I just said, oh, you're crazy. The system is as honest as anything in the world. And it is, basically, most of the time, I would hope. But it also has the problem. And, for example, judges kind of make sure that they protect each other. And other officials do. And it's kind of, like I say, the system kind of protects itself a lot. And I was a senator for, 20 years? In fact, I'm the first, last, and only one you get to meet or talk to who became a senator without setting foot in the United States. I ran the campaign from Vietnam while I was busy over there slaughtering people. But anyway, and it started as a joke one night at the officers' club. I was a captain in Vietnam, and I had a team, and we went out and identified who the key people of the enemy were in villages, and then instead of bombing the whole village, we'd sneak in and slaughter the poor bastards. But anyway, so forget just what I was saying here.
Well, that was part of Operation Phoenix then.
Pardon?
Was that part of Operation Phoenix?
Yes, I was doing Operation Phoenix.
Oh, sure, I know about that. I mean, I'm sure that when you were doing this...
What, about 10 years ago?
Beg pardon?
It was top secret. It was kept secret up until about 10 years ago.
Well, we have a Stockman or somebody like that wrote a book about it. I forgot the fellow's name.
Yep.
But basically,
Phoenix Program, it was called.
Right. But basically,
and that's what I was working with.
Basically, you know, John, I mean, I used to think we went over there to fight communism until I suddenly realized this whole thing was phony. We were funding the North Vietnamese all indirectly, all during the war. We were never allowed to win. I interviewed a four-star Marine General, Lew Walt, who personally told me that we could have won in 6 weeks. They just wouldn't let us win the war. I was told the same thing by Ambassador William H. Sullivan, the American ambassador to Laos. We could have won in 6 weeks, but they didn't want to win the war. They just wanted to drag it on and on and on. Looking back, do you think there could be any truth to that supposition?
Which supposition now? Say it again.
Well, the idea that we never went over there to win. In other words, we went over there, a lot of people died, but we were never allowed to win the war.
That is exactly what I wrote in my book, by the way.
Right.
Exactly. But it's kind of funny because I did get, as I say, decorated at the White House by the president, named as one of the 8 most outstanding veterans of the Vietnam War. And even though it was, I got all kinds of honors and everything, about a year or two ago, I was given a speech somewhere, and I said, well, I guess we lost the war officially. I said, but I won the war. I said, yeah. They said, well, how'd you win it? And I said, well, I got the most wonderful prize of all out of the war. I married the little Vietnamese girl I met over there. She's the mother of my children, and she's the most perfect wife and mother on the planet Earth. And I used a phrase, what did I say? I said something that they said was impolite to women. Oh, I called her a trophy. I said, I won the biggest trophy of all from Vietnam. I said, my wife. But I guess it was terrible when I called her a trophy. So anyway, they had editorials all over the country saying what a terrible, terrible thing that was. Disgrace to women. But anyway, she's a perfect mother and wife. I will say the one thing, though. I learned something.
What was that?
Those little Vietnamese girls that are so nice and obedient, you know, they come over here and these American women educate them and turn them into American-type wives, and they're in, think they're head of the household instead of the man.
Well, our guest has been John DeCamp. It's been a delightful evening, John, and we'll certainly do everything we can to get copies of that book and try to distribute them. If you can't get it to us, Amazon.com. Apparently they're the ones who are putting it out at the present time. We do still have copies of The Franklin Scandal. We'll be back in just a moment.
My book is much more thorough than that.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try ProPax NT.
Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's PROPAX.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you just heard an interview with one of the bravest men in the world. His name is John DeCamp, and we carry his book, The Franklin Scandal, but we're going to get the Franklin cover-up, too, and now I know where to get them wholesale. If you want to get The Franklin Scandal, we carry it, and we'll get the other one, and we're going to do a series of programs with John. I said he was part of the Phoenix program. This was a program by which they simply set out to murder key people in Vietnam who were accused of being anti-American. In other words, they didn't want America over there, doing the things, fighting a no-win war. And most of the Vietnamese people realized we weren't there to win. We were just there to fight a war. We killed a million South Vietnamese and 2 million North Vietnamese. All the time, we were funding the Russians, were funding the North Vietnamese, who were funding the South Vietnamese. As I say, I was personally told by General Lew Bault, four-star Marine general, that if you haven't seen my interview with Lew Bault, it is available through my ministry. A Marine General Speaks is the title of that DVD. I was told by Sydney Ambassador William H. Sullivan, Ambassador to Laos, and a member of the CFR, and a friend of David Rockefeller's, who told me we could have won the war at any time in 6 weeks. And as he said, I never understood why we didn't win that war. Well, I could have told him, but it's my job, of course, is not to tell important people what's going on. My job is to get the information and then relay it to you. So basically, of course, the story of Columbine has never been told, and said the officers there, police officers, had actually compromised either Klebold or Harrison into sexual activity. That had to be sealed. The records have been sealed, for 30 or 40 years. Why? The last thing they ever want the American people to know is the corruption that exists not only in Columbine, but in Washington, D.C. itself. Because, of course, the pedophile ring, and we hear, oh, pedophilia, how terrible. Well, of course, the pedophile ring that John uncovered, of course, went right into the White House. Started in Boys Town, went into the White House. It involved key people in our government. Everybody talks, oh, how terrible pedophilia is. And yet the key people in our government engage in it. If you doubt that, you need to get our 4-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. The 4-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. And, of course, this goes into the background of where they meet up here in Santa Clara, not too far from where I said Santa Rosa. And the leaders of our country, the people from the executive branch of government and Congress and our corporate leaders get together every year for a sexual orgy. For a sexual orgy. In fact, in the White House tapes recorded in the Oval Office. Nixon is at one point recorded as saying how terrible he thinks all the fags are who attend that meeting, and they're running around in the woods and how much he disapproves of it, but he always went himself because he wants to be with the men who rule America. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. You need to get the 4-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. You need to get the 4-tape set on Skull and Bones. You need to get 4-tape set on, or 4-CD set on, Deadly Assassins. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, they do kill people in America. You need to get the book, The Franklin Scandal. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, we can certainly use your help financially so we can continue maintaining our network of almost 70 outlets across America every single week. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders, our ministers, but pray for certainly Alex Jones and for Ron Paul, who's doing a great job, and for Joyce Riley and Noah Hutchings from Southwest Radio Church, my friend John Leffler, and certainly Chuck and Chris Meyer. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment here.
America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains, through the prairies, through the ocean, white with gold.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Federer. And William, of course, writes and is a frequent guest here on Radio Liberty. He was telling me he was out here in California attending a meeting at El Centro and had a little table there selling his books and wares. And some woman, a couple of them actually came up to him and said, "Oh, Mr. Federer, we've actually heard you on Dr. Stan's show." Told me about going to Ohio and having a table there and talking, and people come up and say, "Oh, we've heard you on Dr. Stan's show." And all across the country, when he's done the talking, he's mentioned that people have come to him very often and said, "Oh, we've heard you on Dr. Stan's show." It's wonderful from my point of view to know that people are out there listening. William, it's good to have you with us again.
Oh, Dr. Stan, great to be with you.
Well, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, I thought that due to what President Obama is promoting, explain how pushing for gay marriage really has nothing to do with gay marriage. It has to do with criminalizing Christianity. And so when you vote for gay marriage, you're really voting to criminalize Christianity. It's important to understand the political dynamics that the two worldviews are mutually exclusive. As soon as gay marriage is passed in a state, they make a beeline for the preschool and begin indoctrinating little children. And if you stand up against that, you are then maligned and called names and hateful. And then if you continue to stand against it, it'll be like Canada, where it's a crime to speak out against it. And we can't forget that once you de-Christianize a government, horrible things can happen. You know, you look at 80 million were killed in China in their by an atheistic government during the Cultural Revolution. 60 million were killed throughout the Soviet Union's domination and atheistic government. Pol Pot killed millions in Cambodia in the killing fields, an atheistic government. Same with Ho Chi Minh and Castro and Mao Zedong and communists took over Hungary. And so there is a fallout effect. There is a repercussion by de-Christianizing the country. And so President Obama is basically taking a clearly anti-Christian view. And once that other view is in control, then those that hold to traditional values, it'll be criminalized. And just sort of an observation. If you have some rare pandas and they are in a zoo and the males want to team up and they ignore the female, and maybe this is the last few of them that are in existence, and the zookeeper will get very concerned and think that maybe the environment is not right, maybe they can't reproduce in captivity, and it would be a crisis for the zoo if this last pair of pandas doesn't reproduce. And you look at what if all the bald eagles in America started teaming up with the males and ignored the females? They would think that maybe there's some pesticide that needs to be banned that's causing this abnormal activity. How come in other species it's considered a crisis, whereas in the human species it's not? It's an interesting dynamic.
Well, of course, if you want to limit the population, one of the things you do would be to encourage homosexuality, because they don't reproduce, they die young, and that's exactly what's going on.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
William is just talking about how basically the idea of marriage, one man, one woman, Certainly, reproduction, having children, this was certainly a basic Christian concept. Certainly, then in pagan Greece, why they had a pedophilia, they had a homosexuality. They had homosexuality, open homosexuality, and certainly in ancient Rome. In fact, there's so many similarities between the financial situation of the Roman Empire, paralleling the American Empire. So the bread and circuses they had in ancient Rome to what we have today here, where we have welfare and we have football and we have basketball and baseball, keep the people entertained, and then a homosexuality. Homosexuality was one of the big things. It was perfectly normal in ancient Rome, and of course we know how ancient Rome ended up. Go right ahead.
Well, and you know, Sir Lawrence of Arabia, when he was a young archaeologist in Turkey, the Sultan caught him and accused him of being a British spy and sodomized him. And in his autobiography, he talks about how this tormented him for the rest of his life. And but Republican Party was formed in 1856, and the original plank in the Republican Party platform took a stand on social issues, polygamy, and slavery. So it said to prohibit in the territories the twin relics of barbarism, polygamy, and slavery. So here we have the Republican Party was formed, number one, to get rid of slavery, arguing that the value of human life, no matter if somebody lives on the city or a plantation, that they should be free, they should be equal. And Lincoln, the first Republican president, took a stand against slavery. But also, the Republican Party platform took a stand against polygamy. And the situation in Utah, where a guy could have lots of wives, and the party said, no, a marriage is one man and one woman. Well, back then it was the number, today it's the sex, but it's the same stand that the party originally was formed for, was to stand up for traditional marriage. And so this attack has been going on for quite a while, and it is going on today. So if we look at Canada, we look at these other different areas, no sooner is it passed than if you hold an alternative view, namely traditional morality, you would be considered a hateful and intolerant person. And it goes from there to persecution, and it goes from there to outright horrible tragedies of purges and so forth. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting reflection on what the president's doing. You know, there's a number of different ways to look at it, but one is the Saul Alinsky method, the idea that you push something that's so extremely drastic that everybody's happy to settle for something that's half as bad. There's the concept of pushing something, and then if people respond in opposition, then it's almost like the agent provocateur thing that Stalin did. That imagine if he pushes it, and then those hateful people respond, and maybe a homosexual gets killed, and then they'll say, "See, it's those hateful, hateful Christians, and they're the ones." You know, Stalin had a situation with the Tea Party movement. It was called the Anti-Stalinists. And the Anti-Stalinists were gaining a little momentum, and Stalin's like, how do I get rid of this Tea Party movement, these Anti-Stalinists? So Stalin had a supporter named Sergei Kirov. He was the party boss in Leningrad, and he was giving speeches praising Stalin. And Stalin decided to murder Sergei Kirov and blame it on the Anti-Stalinists. And this gave him justification for a purge that killed millions of people. And so you push something, and if people, if you can blame a crime on the opposition, it gives you an opportunity to malign them. But we do know that the president does have a strategy. He has a guy named David Axelrod, who is his campaign manager. In 2010 on NPR, David Axelrod made an interesting quote. He said, in Chicago politics, we have a tradition where you throw a brick through your own campaign office window and then call a press conference to accuse your opponent. In other words, you create the crises and then you blame it on the other side. This could be anything from a healthcare crisis to a financial crisis. And, you know, this strategy would play itself out in this way if the president would intentionally tank the economy and put people out of work. Then he could call a press conference and accuse the rich Republicans. And this is a strategy that communists took over 45 countries this way. That, you know, Lenin, after his Bolshevik revolution, actually tried to get the Russian economy going again and tried to do some farm policies that could actually help the farming grow. But when Stalin got in, he threw those out. He said, no, we need crises. And so he trucked away the food from the Ukraine and put soldiers on the road so that they couldn't migrate, and killed millions of Ukrainians. And Stalin said crises are necessary for the government to demand and obtain total submission of all citizens. And so we see that the Machiavellian idea is that you create or capitalize on crisis to consolidate control. And it's an effective strategy. And we see it being played out before us. But we do know the president does have a strategy. He is working an agenda. And the media is complying with this agenda. And most of the country is pretty naive and just allowing it to happen. And whether we'll wake up this time, I don't know. It seems like we've been talking about these topics for decades. And it still seems to be moving as a slow drift toward the waterfall, like, you know, the river there going toward the Niagara waterfall. But as people say, can we turn it around? I'm just trying to slow it down. But that is some of the reflections I had on what's currently going on in the country. And there's others as well.
Well, I think that's just fascinating. I agree with everything you're saying. So go right ahead, William.
I know I probably mentioned in a previous program a book I wrote. The title of the book is Change to Chains, a little play on words. It's the 6,000-year quest for control, and my website, AmericanMinute.com. But it's an overview of how, for most of world history, power was in the hands of Caesars, pharaohs, kaisers, sultans, czars, maharajas, Chinese emperors, Aztec Montezumas, Hawaiian King Kamehamehas. No matter where you went in the world, no matter which century you picked, that the normal, most common form of government is dictatorship, monarchy. And if you're friends with the king, you're more equal. You're not friends with the king, you're less equal. You're an enemy of the king, you're dead. It's called treason. And every now and then, a group of people get a rare opportunity to experiment in trying something other than monarchy. And it usually works for a little while, but then in times of crises, it snaps back like a rubber band, and power goes back into the hands of a dictator. And in my book, I highlight how the first well-documented attempt of a nation trying to rule itself without a king was what? Well, it was Israel. In Egypt, the pharaoh owned all the land. In Mesopotamia and Sumeria, the kings owned all the land. Well, Richard Pipes wrote in his book, Communism History, says in ancient civilizations, the agricultural land belonged to the palaces and temples. In other words, belonged to the royalty, the monarchs. He said, ancient Israel is the first instance where we possess firm evidence of private land ownership. And so the chapters in the Bible where it talks about don't move the ancient boundary marker between properties, and then all those boring chapters in Joshua where they're doing surveys of the land, they're drawing lots for the land, they're giving this tribe from the river to the sea, and then Caleb's daughter gets off her horse and asks for the spring on the other side of the property, and then my mom's name is Tirzah, and the first instance of Tirzah in the Bible is she was a daughter of Zelophehad, and Zelophehad had no sons, and so he was not getting land in Moses' division, and so these daughters go to Moses, and Moses says, okay, let me check, and he goes to the Lord and comes back and says, you get land, you just have to marry within your tribe. This was unheard of, private individual women getting land, individual families getting land, tribes getting land without any king. And so in Israel, everybody was equal before this thing called a law. So if there's a king, you butter up next to him, and equality is how close of an orbit can you get to this real important person. Well, in Israel, for 200 years, they didn't have a king, and so there's nobody to butter up next to. They were all equal before a law, and they could all own private property. And when you own private property, you accumulate sheep and cows and grain, and you're in a position to lend and not have to borrow. The Bible calls that being blessed. Karl Marx called it being a capitalist. You have capital. You have stuff. You saved up. You worked hard. You were responsible. And Karl Marx said the history of the theory of communism can be summed up in a single sentence: abolition of private property. And a follower of his is Roger Baldwin. He started the ACLU. And Roger Baldwin went to the Soviet Union in 1927. And he said, "I am for communism, disarmament, and sole control of those who produce wealth." And so we see that there's this move under the name of communism to go back to a dictatorship. And every communist country is really a monarchy. There's a communist dictator. He's the new king. They're the communist party members. They are the new royalty. And the people are the peasants. Their fate's determined by the state. So
that's exactly what they're trying to do here. Of course, we have our master bureaucracy. They want to tell you what to do with your land. And they want to tell you, suddenly, how you can build your house. And they want to tell you, how you're going to work and who's going to work and under what conditions. Everything to be regulated by the all-powerful state.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Through his research as a veterinarian, Dr. Joel Wallach discovered that most health problems afflicting livestock can be prevented and even reversed. Many of these same health challenges also occur in humans. These too can be prevented and reversed. Doc's original formula, called the pig arthritis formula, alleviated all arthritis symptoms in animals. The same basic formula has been developed for humans, called the pig pack, which includes plant-derived minerals, a multiple vitamin complex, glucogel, and EFAs. Add to that Longevity's OsteoFX Plus, a proprietary blend of liquid calcium, magnesium, and glucosamine. Now you have the Pig Pack Plus to make up the 90 essential nutrients Dr. Wallach has identified as necessary for sustained good health and longevity.
For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
William is simply pointing out that throughout history, people have always been ruled by others, and America was unique. We did have, at least for a time, limitations on the power of the government so people could be free. But a little bit by little bit, like a thief at night, they have gradually centralized ever more power in Washington, D.C., and certainly two of the most devastating things in the history of our nation occurred in 1913. One was the Federal Reserve System, the other was the 17th Amendment, which allowed direct election of senators. Why was that certainly a terrible, terrible situation? Well, because basically now the senators were up for sale. In other words, basically, before we had the 17th Amendment, why the senator was asked, it was answerable to the state legislature, and the state legislature didn't want high taxes, and they certainly didn't want an all-powerful federal government that would encroach upon the state legislator's power. So if you wanted to remain a United States senator, you kept Washington, D.C. small. But, of course, the people who wanted the dictatorship in America got the 17th Amendment through. Because now, of course, if you want to run to be a senator, you've got to amass a tremendous amount of money. And, of course, then, of course, you're answerable to the people who put up that money. That's why we have the finest senators in Washington, D.C. that money could buy. And the senators don't represent the people. They represent the power elite. And this is one reason we're in the problems we are today. William, pick up the story.
You know, I was explaining to somebody the Oklahoma land rush, where the federal government was giving away land, you know, and then other times they would give away 40 acres and a mule. This was almost unheard of in world history, where the government gave away land. Most of the time the government takes the land. But it shows you how we've changed in such a short time, where now today the government limits what you can do with your own land, with all the environmental and all the different laws and so forth. Another interesting little tidbit is the Louisiana Purchase. You know, the treaties were supposed to go through the Senate, and then but this was such a good deal that Jefferson sort of pushed it through and got rubber stamped by the Senate. There was actually, like, Maine, the state of Maine was thinking of seceding from the Union because they thought that the federal government was getting too big. And Jefferson said, no, you know, it can work. That was a little bit of a usurping of power. You know, water goes down a drain slowly around the edges, but then as it gets closer to the middle, it goes faster and faster till it is sucked down that vortex. And so the, you know, executive branch would usurp a little power here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, until we come up to today. You know, it's going so fast. It was during the Depression when FDR concentrated power with all of his New Deal programs. It was Lyndon Johnson's Great Society Welfare State that concentrated power, where the government can collect everybody's money and give it back in programs. And the temptation is to give it back to voters that will vote for your reelection. Nixon's war on drugs, Bush's war on terror, and now the current president is taking over banks and car companies and life and death healthcare decisions and Gibson guitar factories and car dealerships and wanting to take over life and death healthcare decisions of every single citizen in the country. And so we see this tremendous reconcentrating of power back into the hands of ultimately one person. So whether you call someone prince or president, if they dictate, they are effectively a dictator. And we're moving away from government of the people, by the people, and for the people. One time that I thought is sort of curious with power concentrating was in 1857 when they remodeled the U.S. Capitol building. You think, what does that have to do with anything? Well, when they remodeled it, the architect only put in 435 seats in the new House chamber. And, you know, before the Civil War, there were 180 congressmen. After the Civil War, it goes up to like 220 and then 250 and then 280 and then 300. And then during the 1890s, it got up to about 380, 390, 35. And, congressmen were saying, what do? We don't want to rebuild and remodel our House chamber again. So they said, oh, let's take the country's population and every 10 years do a census and divide it up by 435. So at first you got 30,000. That was the congressional ratio, one congressman for 30,000. Then 40, 50, 60. Now it's up to 500,000. And there's no way you can shake 500,000 hands. So it, again, goes in the direction of whoever can get a lot of money to be able to run for Congress. And so it's moving out of the hands of the people, by the people, for the people.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with William Petter describing how freedom is lost.
Do you believe that you've seen the handwriting on the wall? More regulation, more taxation, and more Big Brother to come? All these things mean less of what we cherish, including liberty and freedom. Maybe you're looking to discover a place to relocate. After seriously considering several other countries, we've fallen in love with Chile.
William, you go
Don't
right
get
ahead.
Me wrong, it's not Shangri-La, and it isn't a utopian
way
society.
We talked about the healthcare.
Anywhere you go, there are trade-offs. Moving out of your own country and relocating thousands of miles away isn't for everyone. But if it seems interesting to you, call Jeanette at 413-835-7961. It's the United States phone number, but it rings in Chile. 413-835-7961 or go to the website at southernchileproperties.com. That's southernchileproperties.com. Do you have a chronic disease that has devastated your life? If you do, you should contact the Invita Clinics. Their therapies can reduce the devastating side effects of chronic fatigue, heart disease, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, and other persistent illnesses. Their experienced team is committed to setting a new standard in patient care. They're dedicated to bringing you the best of what's available in cutting-edge medical science. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Or better yet, investigate their website at Invita.com. That's Envita.com. Or 866-830-4576. Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Dan and Cindy Williams talking about the Ords and this whole idea of hospital. And that was basically, it came out of the Catholic Church. They came out of the places that people would go. They'd take these long pilgrimages. Usually they'd arrive wherever they were going sick, and there had to be some place for them to go. So the Catholic Church actually set up these areas, and the word travel is host, so basically what they would do, they would call these places hospitable, Sydney. The whole idea of a hospital was where a traveler would go to recuperate, and that was the origin of this whole idea of this hospital system established by the church. Well, before we go on, William, I want to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and your ministry, and that if you're out in the listening audience and you have a question for William, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But let's get on. You tell us how we can get in touch with you, and then we'll get back to the idea of the Catholic Church. I mean, we're talking about almost 2,000 years ago establishing hospitals. Go ahead.
Oh, my website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com, and I send out a free daily email called The American Minute. And then one of the books I mentioned tonight is Change to Chains, and it's the 6,000-year quest for control. And so if you go back to Syria, you know, Syria was the first country to completely be Christian. You wouldn't know that today because the Muslims have taken it over, but Syria was evangelized by the Apostle Paul, and Antioch, Syria, was the first city where Christians were called Christians. And these Syrian Christians had thriving communities in Persia, India, Mongolia. Kublai Khan's mom was a Syrian Nestorian Christian. And in China, during the 6th century, the Tang Dynasty had a thriving Syrian community. Matter of fact, the Mongolian language to this day uses the Syrian letters, St. Cyril, and the alphabetical characters. So Mongolia does not use Chinese characters. And the Syrians, the Christians, had developed hospitals in Edessa, Syria. Edessa is one of the oldest cities in the world. And they had hospitals and training centers, and then they migrated to Persia, Jundi Shapur, Persia. These Syrian medical teachers, there was one family with 9 generations of doctors. And so this became a model for the Italian, you know, medical universities. And it thrived there for centuries until the Muslims invaded, and that began the end of Syria's leadership in the intellectual world. And back to Western Europe, they've had these hospitals, and as the Muslims invaded, they attacked the hospitals. And so there was an order of knights to protect the hospitals. They were called the Knights of Hospitaller. But as the Europeans, after the Crusades, went back to Europe, they brought back with them the bubonic plague, and so 75 million people died in Europe, and their bodies flying everywhere, and nobody wanted to collect them. So there was an order of Catholic men called the Election Brothers, and they would go by and collect the dead bodies, and if somebody got the disease and was banished from town, they would start to have buildings for them to be a nurse, whether it's a hospice or whether it was a sort of hospital. But obviously the medical care was pretty rudimentary, but it was being where they could rest and maybe bathe and so forth. Over the centuries, the Protestants with the different denominations started hospitals as well. The Methodists and Presbyterians and the Lutherans and Baptists and different denominations. But we have to ask ourselves, why did they do this? Well, religious conviction. Think of who does the medical work in third world countries, the missions, the hospitals. It's Christians. They're motivated by their religious convictions to take care of the poor and the sick and the hurting. And so we see this irony, sort of like Mother Teresa, where she said, she would take the dying out of the gutters of Calcutta and wash them off and feed them and clothe them. And she said, I serve because I love Jesus. And so we see that there's this irony today that in the name of healthcare, the government is taking over and forcing the church to abandon those very religious convictions that invented healthcare, that invented hospitals, and that used to be it was all free because these orders were not in it for profit, and they were doing it as unto the Lord. They were doing it as a religious service. And yes, every now and then somebody they'd doctor back to health would be a wealthy person, and that person would feel grateful and donate money to continue the hospital. And other times, even if they died, the family was so impressed that they were cared for so well in their last days that they would donate money. And so it was all private and it was all free. But as we moved away from the religious motivation of the healthcare workers and turned into a profit motive, but now because of all the lawsuits and all the expense, it's gotten so much that the government says, oh, we'll take it over. But now we want to force the abandonment of the very religious convictions that invented hospitals and healthcare in the first place. So there can't be any major irony than what we're seeing happen today. And we see the homosexual agenda forcing Catholics to give up the adoption services in, big cities like Boston and so forth. Another observation, some of the leaders in the Catholic Church said, well, we'll close down the hospitals before we'll be forced to do abortions. And one wonders, well, maybe that's part of the goal. You say, what? Well, let's look at Mexico, 1920. In Mexico, the atheistic government, run by the Masons and so forth, they actually shut down all the Catholic churches. They shut down all the seminaries. They shut down all the Catholic schools. Why? Well, they didn't want this foreign influence of the church to tell this atheistic government what to do. And they had several wars and battles there in Mexico. And then, of course, in the communist countries, they shut them down. And you had mentioned the overpopulation theory, but also the creating of a crisis and people being dependent on the government. It is something that either what's happening is coincidental or it's tremendously irresponsible or there is an agenda. And more and more, it looks like there's an agenda and it's being worked out right before our eyes. They're brilliant and they know what they're doing, and most of us are naive and allowing it to happen. There is a famous quote from Ben Franklin and during the Constitutional Convention. Ben Franklin said, there's not a king in 100 who would not follow the example of Pharaoh. First get all the people's money, then their land, then make them and their children servants forever. He said, I'm apprehensive that the government of the states may not in future days end in a monarchy. What's he talking about? Well, let's see. In Egypt, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. That first year of famine, people said, bad economy. We don't have money for food. Government, take our cattle, give us food. Second year, take our land, give us food. Third year, take us and our kids and our posterity, just give us a government handout. And all the power in Egypt was concentrated into the hands of one person. So I think that that's one of the situations we see happening today.
Well, what is about to befall medicine is just going to totally destroy it. In fact, it's pretty well destroyed already. I practiced during a wonderful, wonderful time before the government came in with all of its promises. And, of course, the government promised. They said, we're going to bring in Medicare, and it's designed to help the elderly, and Medicaid will help the sick and the infirmed. And you don't have to worry, doctors, why, because nothing is going to change. You're going to get full usual and customary fees. We're going to pay the hospital bills in total and the city. Everybody will have health care. We have plenty of money. It was anticipated the program would cost no more than $9 billion by 1990. And that's, well, of course, it went just exactly as they said. Well, the doctors got their usual and customary fee. The hospitals got paid their usual and customary charges. Everybody suddenly seemed to have health care. There was certainly a wonderful situation if you manufactured health care products. The government would pay whatever you charge. So it was a wonderful way for everybody associated with healthcare to make a great deal of money. And the government did exactly what they said they would do. Only there was one thing. They didn't tell you how long they were going to do it. And then little by little bit, they had to cut back on the fees paid the doctors and cut back on the fees they paid to the hospitals and then began to regulate the doctors' practice of medicine and the hospitals' practice of medicine because, of course, there wasn't enough money. Well, today, of course, the program that was supposed to cost $9 billion by 1990, today that program costs about $525 billion a year, and of course they're cutting everything to the bone. Doctors have to charge 3 or 4 times what their ordinary fees would ordinarily be to get anything at all, but the government requires that you can't bill the government more than they bill the private patients, so you have to bill your private patients ridiculous fees, 5 times what you'd ordinarily bill them, because, of course, the government only pays a fifth of a billing. But, of course, doctors are expected to get the full fee from the individual, and there's no problem facing medicine today that a new government program won't make worse. Go right ahead.
Well, I appreciate you so much having me on, Dr. Stan. And I want to remind people of my website, AmericanMinute.com, and there is a book, Change to Change, which sort of goes over many of the things that I've talked about tonight. But I'm going to have to run here just a little bit early, but I thank you so much for having me on as your guest, and you are doing a tremendous work.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so very much, William, and I appreciate you being with us. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. William Federer had to leave early. So we'll, if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But basically, of course, this Medicare bill is going to totally destroy the practice of medicine, and it's designed to kill people. Basically, they have the death panels. Now, President Obama honestly says there's nothing in the health care bill about the death panels. And anybody who says there's something in the health care bill about death panels is obviously not telling the truth. And that is, of course, absolutely true. There is nothing in the health care bill about certainly the death panels. That was in previous legislation. That was in one of the bills that had to do with Sydney coming up with the system to get us out of the problems we were in financially. But, of course, it's not in the health care bill. It's in other bills. The death panels are there, basically, because there's not enough money. You have to understand that Sydney right now, Medicare is costing $560 billion a year. Social Security is about $730 billion a year, and between them, they're about $1.2 trillion. The government only takes in $2.1 trillion a year. And so basically, of course, with the military, that's all the money the government takes in. They're spending about $3.4 trillion, so they just have to borrow all the rest of the money. And we borrow money year after year after year. As the debt just keeps increasing and increasing and increasing, they lie with about what the real debt is. If you use the GAAP method of accounting, that's a generally accepted auditing or accounting practices, generally accepted accounting practices, which the government requires all private corporations to use. If you use that, our national debt is $81 trillion, and the gross domestic product is about $15 trillion a year. National debt is $81 trillion, so basically it's about five times. The real debt is five times everything that is bought and sold in America every single year. And there's no way the debt can ever be paid off, and they know that. They're either going to default on the debt or more probably make it go away by simply inflation, and then they can start it all over again. And of course, they will cheat everybody that bought government bonds, but anybody who's foolish enough to buy government bonds, well, what can you expect? And of course, they'll cheat the central banks that are holding them. But this is what happens. It has happened down through the centuries when governments get this deep in debt. Why, of course, they simply default on the debt. But, of course, when we do that, we lose our status as the leader of the world. And that's maybe why America is not even mentioned in the Bible. America is going to lose its leadership capacity. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, as we're talking a little bit about the health care bill. But I think it's so vitally important that you understand that the health care bill, certainly we've got 56 million people on Medicare today. 79 million are retiring within the next 19 years. They're all going to be on Medicare. Where's the money going to come from? You're going to have to kill off the elderly. Just that simple. And so the death panels will just simply stipulate that after a certain age, we will not treat people. If they want to go elsewhere for the health care, but the federal government will not take care of them, and they know exactly what they're doing. I was told this 30 years ago by a high government official. We're moving towards two stages of health care. One, a private health care system. The other, first government, where people die.
For many decades, these great United States have had security in plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and
I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try ProPax NT. ProPax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that ProPax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply ProPax.com. That's ProPax.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. ProPax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about ProPax today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there across America listening to us and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and I would, of course, appreciate your help because we certainly want to maintain our 70 outlets every single week so we can reach as many people as we possibly can with the truth about what's going on today. There's so much frank misinformation, so much information out there designed to frighten people to death, like, 100,000 Russian troops here in America ready to take over. This is garbage. Basically, what you want you to do is get so frightened that you cannot think effectively about what's going on. The other side is frightened to death. The American people is going to wake up and are going to recognize that all these things that are going on are treasonous, that these people in charge are violating their oath to uphold the Constitution. This is a subversive movement, and the subversive should be arrested and tried for their crimes. That certainly a war in Iraq was totally phony. We killed 1 million people, and George Bush and the people who surround him in the secret societies are responsible for that. This is a massive demonic conspiracy. You see, behind everything, there is satanic forces, and until you understand that, nothing makes sense. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. This is why you need to listen to my talk, and it's on DVD. It's called The Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret, and we have another talk called The Dark Secret. They're both on DVDs. We have a new DVD out. It's called The Dangerous Deception. It's my interview with Norman Dodd. He was the director of the Reese Committee, the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And what did he find? What did the Reese Committee find? They found that the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford, were financing communism and socialism in the United States and throughout the world. Why were they doing that? Well, you needed an enemy. You had to focus people's attention on an outside threat so people would not recognize what was really going on in America and that there were powerful spiritual forces here working to destroy the very basic fabric of our society, which is built upon the limitations of the power of the federal government. And so when people really believing that there was a threat from communism, why, of course, then they would, of course, tend to rely upon our government to protect them from those wicked communists who are planning to take away our freedom, whereas actually, of course, those plans were being facilitated through the Council on Foreign Relations and the other branches of what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Until you understand that we financed the Nazi movement all during the Second World War, if you doubt that, you need to get John Loftus's wonderful book, America's Nazi Secret. John had a top security clearance. He was three levels above top secret. And you need to get his book, The Secret War Against the Jews, America's Nazi Secret, and my interview with him entitled On the War Against the Jews.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.